but I'm called to raise godly sons.
But I am called to trust God with the impossible.
But I'm called to be a teacher and a mentor.
I am called to be a child of God.
But I am called to educate parents who have children with major health issues.
But I am called to be content with who I am.
But I am called to share Christ wherever I am.
But I am called to be content in who God made me.
Welcome to week four of Called. As Caitlin said, my name is Josh, and I'm an elder here at Friendship Church, and I have the incredible privilege of bringing you the message today. Over the past few weeks, we've heard amazing sermons from our senior pastor, Dave. He's talked about God's calling in our lives, as well as how we are called to both love and belong. Today, I get the incredible privilege of talking about who we get to or who we're called to become. If you remember back to when you were about 5 or 7 years old, you were probably called to become something much different than what you are today. You probably didn't want to be who you are today. You probably wanted to be something uniquely different. Maybe you wanted to be a doctor or a nurse. Maybe you wanted to be a musician or an artist. Or maybe you wanted to be something really exciting like an accountant or an engineer. Okay, that's what I am, so... there you go. Or maybe you wanted to be something really exciting like a policeman or a fireman. For me, I just wanted to go as fast as possible and win. It didn't matter whether it had two wheels or four wheels, whether it was on water or land or in the air. I just really wanted to go fast, and I had to win. I wanted to be a race car driver. And as we all grow up, as we all mature, not sure I did very well, but as we all mature through life, we tend to have things that changed. And for me, I went from wanting to be a race car driver to wanting to be a video game analyst / food critic. Yeah, it's very, very exciting, very intuitive. I know, great calling from God. I moved on to much more mature things like wanting to be a musician and a chef, you know, kind of a savant, shall we say. I moved on from there, and I wanted to be a professional athlete. And as my dad so eloquently says, you know, you're your mother's son. I'm not 6'2" and 225, and I'm not as fast as most defensive linemen. So that really didn't work out. And now I've continued to grow, and now I'm a husband and a father and an elder here at Friendship Church. But you might be asking yourself, why? Why do we change? You know, why do we go from where we were to where we are now? I can tell you, for me, it had a lot to do with what the outside world had to say about it. You see, I spent the first 20 plus years of my life not a part of the church and not knowing who Christ was. So the people in my life influenced me the most. And they told me that I needed to be rich, I needed to be powerful, I needed to be handsome. And while I may have this wonderfully stylish hair, thanks to Katie Winchester, who was here in our first service, so I plug for her all the time, that's about all I've got going for me these days. So a lot of those things were about my outward appearance, right? Or the things that I had. The materialistic things. You know, I had to have the right car, the big house, you know, dress the right way. It was all about the perception of others. Over the past 10 plus years, I've realized that I've been asking the wrong person. It wasn't who should I become based on what I think, or who should I become based on what my mom or my dad or my friends had to say. It was more about our divine creator, the one that basically created me, gave me my talents and abilities and skills, that would basically have by far more to say about it than I would, and that's God. And so if you turn to Romans 8:29, it says, "For God knew his people in advance. He knew us before we were born. He had plans predestined for us. He knew what we would do and what we would not do based on his creation of us. He knew us in advance. And he chose them to become like his son." He chose us to become like his son. I'd like you to go ahead and underline the "like his son." We'll come back to that in just a moment. "So that his son would be firstborn among many brothers and sisters." Now, some of you may be thinking Jesus Christ was not the firstborn. You are correct. He was not the first individual born, but Jesus Christ was the firstborn in the sense that the Father was going to leave full control over everything that he had created on here on earth to his firstborn son, the leader of everything. So if you were to read that verse again, but institute leader, it would say, "So that his son would be the leader among many brothers and sisters," which is us. Going back to what we underlined leads us to the big idea of today. So everything else I say, everything else that comes from this, please understand this, which is you are called to become like Christ. You are called to become like Christ. Now, a few of you may be thinking, awesome, Josh is going to give me a message, and afterwards, I'm going to be able to move mountains and walk on water and do all these things. No, it says like Christ, okay? He's our leader. He emulated things. He allowed basically scripture to be written down so that we knew who he was and we could get to know him, right? We could start to emulate and be like him. It also doesn't say we're going to be him. It says become. Become is a process. It's something that we have to work through, and it's an evergreen, ever-continuous process. Okay, so we have to become like Christ. So if we're called to become like Christ, most people ask us, well, how? How do I do that? And that's really what I want to go over today. I want to give you five unique things that impact each and every one of us in our daily lives. And these are things that we can become to be more like Christ. As we go through this, I'm going to try to interject my life and my experiences as well to give you guys a little bit of humor as well as a few other things. So the very first thing is that we must become humbled. If we are called to become like Christ, we must become humbled. We must first realize that it's not about us, but it's all about God. As a matter of fact, we're going to start with a little bit of a therapy session here. So if you guys could repeat after me, I am a sinner. It's not about me. It's all about God. All right, now awesome. We have all realized and now recognize that God is the creator of everything and he is in control, and that despite our desires, it has nothing to do with us. As a matter of fact, in Ephesians 3:20, it says, "Now all glory to God, who is able, through our mighty power, through your mighty power, no, through God's, his mighty power at work within us, to accomplish infinitely more than we might ask or think." Now I always like to pause and go back to the end of that verse. We might ask or think. I have a 5, a 3, and a 1-year-old, and they can ask a lot. A lot. And for me to imagine that God could give us more than they could ask, that's a lot. And I have a pretty creative imagination, and I'm pretty sure I can imagine a lot. So God says that through him, through his mighty power within us, we could achieve more than my daughter might ask, which is a lot, or we might imagine, which is probably pretty infinite. Now, I will tell you that when I first started my journey, I realized that God was in control, that God was all-powerful. Yet I was still selfish and stubborn and pushy and arrogant, and I was all these things. Because, you see, I had realized something, but I had not actually taken the action of humbling myself. And to give you maybe a better understanding of this, I'm going to tell you a little bit of story about myself. So a few weeks ago, I decided that I was going to be a manly man and I was going to join an all-men's softball league. I was to bring the youth at mid-season As most of the guys I played with were in their late 40s to early 50s, and I'm 32. I know that sounds weird for me to say I'm an elder, but I'm 32. It just means leader. So those that try to bring some wisdom. But anyways, I was supposed to bring the youth, and we had played a few games, and we had done quite well, and it was the start of the second game that I was in, and I hit this beautiful shot. It was, you know, the top of the first, so nothing wrong had happened. Everything was moving. We had scored a few runs. I hit this beautiful shot at the top of the first, went between second and third, right over the top of the shortstop and into left center. And I was excited. I was running down to first base. I get about 40 feet down that 60-foot baseline, and I decide I'm going to look over. And I'm going to see where that ball's at because I think I'm going to make it to second base. And the old guy in front of me is already on his way to third, so I know I can maybe make it to second base. It was at that point in time that my hamstring just... And as I'm looking this way, I don't really know where I'm going, and so I proceed to fall uncontrollably. Now, I had chosen to wear shorts because I didn't want to be that guy. I didn't want to slide. I didn't want to go crazy or anything like that. But as I start to fall uncontrollably, I realize that I'm falling into brick dust wearing shorts. So I do everything I can to brace myself. After I fall and I look at my knees and I realize there's large sections of skin missing, I start to try to get up, which because I hit the ball so well, I still made it to first base. But I realize my finger has been jammed, my wrist has been sprained, and that my left elbow is now bruised. And my hamstring has been pulled, right? So I'm standing on first base and I have recognized that I am hurt. So I have made that first step. I have recognized that I am hurt. My teammates start to call out to me, "Hey, Josh, do you need a runner? Do you need someone to take your place?" And it was at that moment that I had to commit to an action. I could either choose to run or attempt to run to second the next time somebody hit the ball, which probably would result in me falling down some more and humiliating myself some more and probably not helping the team. Or I could humble myself, take the action, and say, for the betterment of the team, send me a runner. So I did. And naturally, the designated coach, backup, 62-year-old man who's 5'3", runs out to take my place. So sometimes there is some humiliation that comes with humbling, but the point of the story is that it requires action, right? You can't just recognize something. You have to submit. You have to take an action. As it says in 1 John 1-6, if we say that we have fellowship with him and yet walk in darkness, we lie and do not practice the truth. If we say we have no sin, we are deceiving ourselves and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sins, if we take action and confess our sins, he is faithful and righteous to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all righteousness. I had to submit. I had to humble myself before God. We have to admit our sins, ask for forgiveness, and give control over to God. Right? It's not about me. It's all about God. So the very first thing you are called to become like Christ is to become humbled. The second thing is to become focused. Become focused. How are we supposed to be like God if we know nothing about Jesus Christ? Right? We have to take time and focus in on who he is, who he was, in order to be like him. As it says in Romans 12:2, don't copy the behavior or customs of this world, but let God transform you into a new person by changing the way you think. Yes, if you humble yourself before God and you start to focus on God, he will move you from who you are, which, as we said before, is a sinner, a natural born sinner, to who he has called you to be, which means there will be a transformation process. You will change. Okay, it goes on to say, then you will learn to know God's will for you, which is good and pleasing and perfect. That sounds pretty awesome. It was at this point in time that I realized I had to take time to know God. I had to talk to God in prayer. I had to study the Bible to read about him if I wanted to be transformed from wickedness to the kindness and love that he had called me to be. I had to use the Bible as a guide for all aspects of my life if I wanted to become a better leader, man, and husband that he had intended me to be. It's at this point in time that I also started to realize, as I'm being transformed, as I'm focusing in, that there are many distractions in my life. Much like if you're trying to prepare for a sermon and you have a 3 and 1 year old daughter. There are multiple distractions in life as you try to focus on just about anything. It says in Hebrews 12, 1 through 8, let us strip off anything that slows us down or holds us back, especially those sins that wrap themselves so tightly around our feet and trip us up. I think that's like the most perfect illustration of a distraction in our life. Something that wraps itself around our feet and basically causes us to fall on our face. There's no way we can focus, much like I couldn't, on first base if you're falling down, right? So you have to strip those things off. You have to remove those things for your life. For me, that meant I had to really rethink the friends and the people in my life. The people that were pulling me back to who I was and not allowing me to be who God had called me to be, I had to reconsider if I needed to strip those people through or at least separate myself from those people. I also had to focus on the bad habits that I had picked up in the first 20 plus years of my life. Most of your habits you learn and develop within your first 7 years, and they stay with you. And so you have to continue to focus and not allow those to be a distraction. And then all the stuff I wanted, all the desire to look cool, the desire to pile the things around me, the desire to have all that stuff, are distractions that I had to remove. You see, they were like a fog preventing us, my wife and I, from even seeing what God had laid right in front of us. We could choose to strip the things down and pull them out of our life in order to focus on God. So if you are called to be like Christ, you must become humbled, become focused, and third, become patient. Become patient. I'm sure you've heard many people say, good things come to those who wait, right? And I'm also sure you don't like hearing, good things come to those who wait. It says, if you continue in Hebrews 12:1, it says, and let us run with patience the particular race that God has set before us. Run with patience. Now, if you've been to one of our services before, you know that Dave likes to bring in a book or two or throw out a theologian and what they've said. So I thought I would do that too. So this is a book you can pick up at any local library, anything like that. It's very deep. It's called The Tortoise and the Hare. As I said, I have a 5 and a 3 and a 1 year old, so my books are very limited. But if you were to focus in on this old fable, you would realize that the tortoise ran his race with the pace and demeanor that was perfect for him. In other words, at the very beginning of the race, as the hare took off well in front of him, he didn't do everything he could to catch up. He knew that this was the race that was intended for him, and he maintained his patience and his pace. When he passed the hare, he didn't slow down or back off. He continued at the pace that was in front of him. He made sure that every step he took had purpose. As it says in 1 Corinthians 26 through 27, so I run with purpose in every step. I am not just shadow boxing or wasting time and effort fighting basically against nothing. I discipline my body like an athlete, training it to do what it should. Otherwise, I fear that after preaching to others, I myself may be disqualified. See, I began to realize what the tortoise and hare really meant. I had to be patient in my training and patient in my actions to ensure that they had purpose. I couldn't just think, what do the Joneses have, and do as fast and everything as possible to catch up to them. I also realized that if I was going to achieve what God wanted me to achieve, and if I was going to be like Christ, I couldn't just back off when I thought that I was ahead. I also realized that as I had children, I had to remain consistent and patient in the process to effectively instruct them. I'm sure we all have good habits and bad habits. It's really easy to teach a child good habits. It's really hard to tell a child, do what I say, not what I do. They're not going to follow you, right? So if you want to preach to others and not be disqualified, you have to be patient and disciplined along the way. I also realized that I was not on my time and it wasn't my plan. It was God's time and God's plan, and that I needed to remain patient with that time and that plan. The good thing is as it says in Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. They are plans for good and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." That sounds pretty awesome to me. God has laid these out for us, and he has predestined things that are more than we could ever imagine. And if we can remain patient, consistently working through the process by remaining on God's time and God's plan, like the tortoise, we can pounce on the opportunities and be successful in the same way that Jesus Christ was. So if you are called to become like Christ, you must become humbled, become focused, become patient, and become relentless. Become relentless. I can tell you that once my thoughts and my actions started to transform by being focused on God, and I started to rely on his plan and his time, that I didn't really fit in very well with this world. I was somewhat of an enigma, right? I wasn't following the desire to have stuff. I wasn't following all of this other stuff. And I can tell you that in this world, we either reject those type of things or we attack those type of things. And so we need to remain relentless, right, in our pursuit to be like Christ. Our world is going to do everything it can to bring us back to who we were. If you read in Hebrews 12:3-4, it says, "Think of all the hostility he," which is Jesus, "endured from sinful people. Then you won't become weary and give up. After all, you have not yet given your lives in the struggle against sin." You have to remember that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was not spared from any ridicule, from any suffering, or from any difficulty. So why do we think that God would treat us any different? Now, the great thing about this is that God has allowed this to be a part of his plan because he has called us to be with him. And as it says in 1 Peter 5-10, "In his kindness, God called you to share in his eternal glory by means of Christ Jesus." God intends for us to have a relationship that's no longer separated from him, a relationship that is rebonded and allows us to be who we've called him to be, right? He desires us to not only do those things, but be a part of his glory, right? So after you have suffered a little while, yes, in the Bible it says that you will suffer. After you have suffered a little while, he will restore you, support and strengthen you, and he will place you on a firm foundation. See, I realized at this point that the suffering that I was experiencing was intended for me. I know that that sounds a little twisted, but the reason why it was intended for me is because it was to strengthen my faith in God. It was allowing me to have stories which enabled me to connect with others in a way that could bring them to God. And it was also put in place to enhance my ability to glorify God. You see, in John 16:33, it says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth, you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." If we can remain relentless in our calling, we can, through Christ, overcome this world. All of the attacks, all the ridicule, all the difficulty that starts to become upon you as you focus, as you're transformed, as you remain on his time, is okay, because through Christ, who works within us, we can overcome this world. If we remain relentless in his calling, we can through Christ overcome this world. So, you are called to become like Christ. You must become humbled, become focused, become patient, become relentless, and become love. Become love. God is love. If we are to be like Christ, we must love. For as it says in 1 Corinthians 13 through 1, if I could speak all the languages of the earth and of the angels, but didn't love others, I would only be a noisy gong or clanging cymbal. Not sure if you've ever heard a noisy gong or a clanging cymbal, but I used to play in an orchestra. And we had this gal who played in the rhythm section who had absolutely no rhythm. Never really made sense to me. But she was in charge of the cymbals. And I can tell you that there was a very frequent period where that young lady would constantly drop the cymbals or hit them at the wrong time. And our teacher, professor at the time, I'm pretty sure during that semester went from a full head of hair to almost no hair, and most of it was white. So the best way to describe that is it's very annoying, pretty much useless, and doesn't really allow things to move forward. So we are like that if we are without love. If I had the gift of prophecy, and if I understood all of God's secret plans and possessed all knowledge, and if I had such faith that I could even move mountains, but I didn't love others, I would be nothing. And once again, it's not about us, it's about God. It's not about the people of this world or what they've done, but who God is. I had to become love, and I had to share the love with others. As it says in Romans 8:28, and we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and are called according to his purpose. I'm not sure I truly understood this until I became a father myself. The unconditional love that God shares with us is not just meant to be bottled up and put into a vessel. We are meant to be a conduit of that love. God is love. He shares it with us. We are called to share it with others. So, irregardless of how people treat you, how people approach you, whether your five-year-old knocks over your Lego tower or not, you are called to love those individuals equally and continually, because we are not a container, but we are a conduit for which God flows. Now, I realize that I've called you to become a lot today, and I also realize that some of these things are conflicting. How am I supposed to become relentless, but then at the same time become humbled? How am I supposed to be focused, but then be patient? How am I supposed to share love, but then, you know, continue to strive and continue to want to focus on God? All of these things can sometimes be frustrating, overwhelming, and sometimes downright irritating to try to achieve. Well, the good thing is, none of us are perfect. There's only one perfect being that ever lived on this earth, and irregardless of how far you think you are, how much you've done, it is a process. It's an evergreen, continual process. And the best example that I can give of that is Paul. Paul was a guy who not only wrote a lot of the New Testament, but he set up a lot of the church foundation for what that we know it today. He studied alongside Jesus Christ. He wrote down some of the scriptures that were a lot of the scriptures that we read today. And to the church of Philippi, which is why this is called Philippians, no, very complicated. So Philippians, it says, I don't mean to say that I have already achieved these things or that I have already reached perfection. But I press on to possess that perfection for which Christ Jesus has first possessed me. No, dear brothers and sisters, I have not achieved it. I think we can use Paul as probably someone who has done infinitely more for Jesus Christ and his kingdom than some of us probably dream or are capable to do. And yet he says very clearly right here, he has not reached perfection. In the same way, we will continue to become like Christ. He goes on to say, but I focus on this one thing, forgetting the past and looking forward to what lies ahead. I press on to reach the end of the race and to receive the heavenly prize for which God, through Jesus Christ, is calling us. So none of us are perfect. We're all working through the process. We have to forget what we have done. We have to move forward to become like Christ. Now, I don't want to just tell you how. I want to give you some tangible what's. And so if you take your worship guide and you look at the bottom, there's a connection card. And on the back side of that is a response section. In that response section, it says, I am committed to become blank to be more like Christ. I am committed to be blank to be more like Christ. I would really like you to evaluate your areas for just a moment and say, do I need to become humbled? Do I really need to give over to God everything that I have and control over my life? Do I really need to go from recognizing God is in control to actually submitting and humbling myself before God? Do I need to become focused? Do I need to find time, dedicate time to focus on who God is so I can understand who I'm called to be? Do I need to remove distractions from my life so that I can focus on those things? Do I need to become patient? Do I need to realize it's not my plan, it's not my time, it's God's plan and God's time? Do I need to rely on Him and be patient in my training, in my teaching, in the continual process so I can be successful like the tortoise? Do I need to become relentless? Do I need to stop making excuses and allowing these things that attack me to distract and pull me down, but instead fight for what God has called me to be and pursue to be more like Christ? I'm talking about physical fight. I'm talking about internal struggles in which you move forward. Or do I need to become love? Do I need to stop just containing God's love, holding on to it, and move to a conduit? If you're looking at any of these things, I'd highly encourage you to write those down so that we can pray for you. If you're in the section where you basically want to become humbled, we definitely want you to write that down, and we'll be praying for you throughout this week. And we'd encourage you, as you take those next steps, to consider the next steps that we have offered here at Friendship Church. Maybe if you write down that you want to become more focused or patient or relentless, the best thing I can suggest is we have our small groups coming up, which will be our fall semester. We'll start here soon. If you want to focus on God, we do studies about God and who He's called us to be. If you want to be patient or become more patient in understanding, the individuals that are part of small groups is like a family. They help you to see your gaps. They share stories with you, and they enable you to do this. If you want to become more relentless, you need to continue to do that. Having a support group through a small group is one of the best ways in order to achieve that. Maybe you're in the last section where you want to become love. The best way you can move from containing to sharing or pouring out onto others is through volunteering. We have a connection center back there with multiple volunteer opportunities. I am the Ignite student ministry leader, so a special plug because I gave me the mic. We need volunteers to help our fifth and sixth graders to grow and to be more like God, to be ignited in the faith. There are several other ministries here at Friendship that need the same, and the best way you can become love is through that service. So as we close today, I just really want to encourage you to reflect on yourself, to understand how you can be more like Christ, and also recognize that no one is perfect, and that this is a process. This takes time and effort and energy, and that if you can understand where you're at, you can better understand where you're going. And only through Christ can we achieve more than we could ever imagine. God, I thank you so much for this day and for this opportunity. I thank you so much for sharing your word and allowing your son to be our leader, our firstborn guider to the future. God, I pray that we could challenge ourselves this week in new ways, in new areas, to be humbled by you, to give it all over to you, to be patient, to be willing to not only understand what you've called us to be, but be willing to dedicate ourselves to that training and focus on you. I pray that we can become relentless that we can achieve an area that as a church body we reach others and we grow to an imaginable scale that just glorifies you, and that we become love, that we can pour out onto others the great that you've given us, and that we can shed all the wonders of your love with others. And it's in your name I pray. Amen.